right, Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, and we just want to read four verses of this story. Nebuchadnezzar is now off the scene, and his progeny now is taking the throne. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 5, in verse number 1, we're introduced to a new character. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Preaching tonight on misusing God's vessels. We begin in verse 1 with this drunken party, the drunken party of 1,000. 1,000 people just having a big party. A big drinking party, a party, of course, with a drinking party, there are other things that go along with that. You know, sin is never alone. Sin always comes in triplets, and it always goes a lot farther than people ever intend it to go. And here, this big party that they're having, and there's danger outside the doors. There's an army that has come of the Medes and the Persians. But, you know, it doesn't care about the danger. Let's just party it up. You know, that's sort of the moniker of the world. They don't care about the danger. They don't care about the effects. They don't care about what God thinks about it. Let's just have a good time. People think that the sum of life is just having a good time. But the good time ends in a toilet bowl that the world offers. The good time ends in misery and heartache and shame and loss. And that's how this story is going to end. They start the party at verse 1, but it doesn't end well. And so, but now there's something worse going on in these verses that we've read than just a drunken party of booze. Something much worse. You say, well, how could be something so much worse than this drunken boozing party? There is something worse, which I think caused the ire of God probably more than just the drinking and the carousing that went on. But while we're at verse 1, we might as well preach on that party just for a little while. You know, God hates drunkenness. He hates the booze industry. He hates social drinking. And we're living in a day where, you know what I've noticed? I've noticed backslidden Christians, when they get out of church, it's not too long, they'll put a picture on their social media of their wine cooler or their champagne glass. It always goes, I don't know why it goes that way, but that's what it goes. That's how it goes. Or their beer they're drinking on vacation or whatnot. And, of course, the stance of the Word of God is the stance of this church. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And the Bible says, look not on the wine when it's red. You know, somebody asked me, you know, you're saying it's okay, it's wrong to drink wine? Look, God says, don't even look at it. How you going to drink something you don't see? You're going to hit your face or something with it. You can't even look at it. God says, don't even look at it. Because God declares a woe upon the drunkenness and the... You know, all drink is a drug. That's all it is. But it's the drug that is okay to the world. Well, I take that back. Now we've got marijuana that's okay as well. It's just another substance. Listen, come here now. It's just another substance to cope with life. It's just another substance that people get inebriated on to try to get through life and get over their problems and have a good time. They don't have any joy, so they have to drink some joy. That's not real joy. And they're trying to fabricate some joy here But you know, it's strange that the booze industry is one that has never talked about being outlawed, along now with the marijuana industry. Boy, I'm glad we don't live in a state where people can smoke dope freely. Can you imagine being on? I think I was out of state the other day, and I was driving. I think somebody was smoking dope that was riding next to me. And I mean, who wants to be in a culture where everybody's high? High. What a word. Why do they even say high? It's not very, it don't get you too high. It gets you low, man. It makes you stupid. Boy, I'll never forget. Should I tell this? Maybe I should tell it. Maybe it'd be good for somebody. When I was in public school, the police officer came by and said, told all of us, said, if you smoke dope and you're a boy, you'll grow a bosom. And boy, those football players looked at each other and said, well, we're not going to do that. I'll tell you that right now. You know, there are all types of things that happen to your body when you put substances into them. And alcohol is just another one of those substances. You know what's strange about our country is it seems like our country is run by the booze industry. I mean, there used to be a day you couldn't have commercials with drink and all that. It's everywhere. I mean, you know, and I don't advocate it. I'm against it. We don't believe in smoking and chewing and using tobacco and all that stuff. We don't believe in that. But why is that so wrong? But getting drunk and drinking, why is that okay in our society? It's the morality of our culture is really strange. You can do the most perverted things, but don't eat a cow. You can do the most perverted things, but don't dip snuff. Well, you know, you don't even have to be smart not to dip snuff. I mean, that's just gross. Fly won't even land on that. So, I mean, but I'm telling you, our industry, the industry of America is that alcohol is okay. You know why? Because it drives and runs the culture of America. Let me say this. I know that we have... let me say it this way. I'm thankful that the last two Republican presidents didn't touch alcohol. Amen. You think about that. You can say what you want to about President Trump, but he's got the sense not to drink booze. Amen. Let's talk about that just a minute. Oh, the guns that are killing everybody. Do you know how many people die every day from drunk driving in the United States? 30 people a day. 30 people die every day because somebody drank and got behind the wheel of a car. One person every 48 minutes gets killed because of a drunk driver. Why isn't our society angry about that? Why don't they outlaw alcohol? Well, we got to do something. People died. That 30 people died today from a drunk driver. We got to stop this drinking. That's about 11,000 people a year. You know how many people die a year from gun homicide? 14,000. Not too far off, is it? When you put all the gun violence and you put all the together with like people that take their own life, then you have more. You got about 38, 39,000. And that's the same amount that get killed by all types of car accidents as well, 38, 39,000. What I'm saying is we have a culture that picks and chooses what it thinks is bad. I grew up in a town where it was illegal to sell alcohol. And that industry continued, and it was run by the devil. And there's no question why there's all these commercials on TV. You know what? They just passed a rule in SEC football. Now they're going to sell booze at the stadiums. Any school that wants to can sell alcohol in the stadium starting now. And you know what? Tennessee Neyland Stadium, that's the first thing they did. We're selling booze. Well, I've been in that stadium. They don't need to sell any more. They sneak enough in, all those drunk volunteer fans. I had enough of that. Let's booze them up. That's the culture we live in. And what the Bible's showing here is a drunken party that's going to anger God. It's going to destroy these people. 44 billion with a B. $44 billion a year because of drunken drivers, the damage and the destruction. $44 billion a year. I bet you'll not hear a Democrat or Republican propose to outlaw alcohol. But we did that once in our country. When we had a better country. When we had a godly country. When Billy Sunday preached on every corner and the bars got shut down, amen. And the dance halls got shut down, amen. My grandfather started church in Coleman, Alabama in a dance hall that used to be a dance hall that got closed down, hallelujah. American Christians used to have an impact on society, but now it's society that has an impact on the American Christian. Drunken party, oh, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with a little cocktail? Well, the Bible tells you to be filled with the Spirit, but not that Spirit. Verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, you know, while you're doing wrong, the devil always give you a few more ideas that are a little bit more worse than the first one. And by the way, if you'll live for God and get sold out to God and get filled with the Spirit of God will give you some ideas to take you a little farther with Jesus if you let it. But while he's drinking, while he tasted the wine, a thought came in his head from the devil. Commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And I'm telling you that this event is even much more depraved than the other event of the party, because now it's not just a drunken party for 1,000 people. It's taking the vessels of God and defiling them. Vessels that were made for the offerings of God and the sacrifice of God and the service of God and the holy things of God. The vessels that were in the very temple of God where the presence of God was, that were used in his service and for his glory. And the devil says, I tell you what, old drunk Belshazzar, got a thought for you. Go over there and take those vessels of God and pour in your wine. Put it in your hand and praise the false gods. These vessels are not unlike Daniel and these three Hebrews that we've heard about. The Bible tells us when the captivity happened that they not only took the vessels of the house of the Lord and took them to Babylon, but they also took these children, right? And there's a correlation between these children, these young men and young women like Daniel, and these vessels. Because, listen, both of them were for the service of God. Both of them were for the house of God. And just like the devil says, I want this silver chalice and this golden vessel that was used in the Levitical offerings and in the temple. I want these young boys and these young girls that were used as vessels for God. And I want to take them. You know what he wants to do? He wants to defile them. And he does with the silver and gold vessels. But you know what? He doesn't quite get to the defilement of Daniel. He doesn't quite get to the defilement of Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. There were some that says, I will not be defiled. And I tell you tonight that we need to see ourselves as the vessels of the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 9. We are vessels of the Lord, and what the devil wants to do is to take you as a Christian and put you into the hand of a dirty man or a dirty woman. The devil wants to take your vessel. You were brought up in the house of God. You were brought up for the service of God. You were sanctified by a holy God to love Him and live for Him. And the devil's purpose is to take you out of the hand of God and put you into the hand of a devil. For a vile purpose, for an evil purpose, for a wicked purpose. Look at Romans chapter 9. The Bible tells us and shows us that we are the vessels of the Lord. Romans chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 23, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. You see, verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And we, he said in verse 23, we can be part of these vessels that are vessels of mercy. We that were not a people, verse 25, have become a people of God, verse 26. And God's made a change in us and showed mercy on us. And the mercy of God made us a vessel unto God. We are vessels of mercy. And by the way, we ought to be pouring out that mercy to others. We ought to be pouring out the mercy, the vessels of mercy. Not only have received mercy to become God's vessel, but we are to be pouring out that mercy to the world and showing mercy to the world. And the devil says, I don't want that to happen. I want to take you out of God's place, and I want to put you in a drunken party for my profaning vessels of mercy. Look at another verse. Look at Acts chapter 9. Here's another vessel in Acts 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. This is the conversion of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. In Acts 9, verse 15, the Bible says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen, what does that say? Vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Oh, Saul, the devil thought, man, I tell you what, I think the devil knew the potential that was in Saul before he ever got saved. I mean, this is a man that had zeal and passion for the wrong way, and he was without reproach in that regard even before he got saved. He did it with all he had. He had the wrong God. He had the wrong idea. And the Lord says he's a chosen vessel. Now watch this. How many chosen vessels did God want to use? And somebody got a bright idea. And they went over and they took that vessel that was for God and they put it in the hand of Belshazzar. And instead of pouring forth the word of God to people that they might be saved and pouring forth the truth of God to people that would hear about God, what if the devil just would have had his way with Saul? How many books in that Bible would we not have been blessed with the pen that God used? He was a chosen vessel. I'm glad that Belshazzar didn't grab him. But he had to make that choice. And you got to make that choice. Am I going to be a chosen vessel for the Lord, or am I going to let the devil get his hands on me? I'm looking at that drunken party, and that's not what those vessels are for. Those vessels are not for wine. Those vessels are not to praise the gods of wood and of stone and of iron. That's not what those vessels are for. How many people that Jesus Christ has saved and changed their life, but somewhere down the road of their life, they changed geography and got placed in the hand of someone that's using them for a vile purpose, and their life they're not living their life for what their purpose is. Look at another text. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Will you let your vessel be put in the hand of a drunken devil that brings shame to the name of your Savior? It grieves me, church. It grieves me. And I'm not just talking about young people, but it grieves me to watch people grow up in the house of God and somewhere find their way to Babylon in the hand of the wicked. It grieves me to see those that were brought up for the glory of God and to be used for God and to be in the service of God, and yet now they are being used by the devil for his purposes. Vessels that the Spirit of God was poured into, and not the spirit of this world and the spirit that sin brings in people's lives. And every individual here, the devil is going to try to get you in his party. The devil is going to try to take you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. The devil is going to try to get you out of the house of God and into his banqueting house. The Bible says, and for here's the way he'll do it with some. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1, furthermore then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Look at verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess, what's that, those two words? His vessel. In sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. He said another place, the body is for the Lord. The body is not for fornication. If you're saved, your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Those vessels didn't belong to Nebuchadnezzar. Those vessels didn't belong to Belshazzar. Those vessels didn't belong to the concubines. Those vessels didn't belong to those filthy people that had them in their hands, mixing their spittle and their wine with their drunkenness. They didn't belong in their hands. And the Bible says that you and I, our vessels, they're for the Lord. They're not for sin. They're not for lust. They're not for lasciviousness. They're not for fornication. And you mark it down whenever somebody is saved by the grace of God and they go into the area of these lustful sins and these areas of fornication, it's just as if your life was put into the hand of Belshazzar in a wicked party. Happens every day. Every day. And these are beautiful vessels. These are valuable vessels. I mean, a vessel of gold, who doesn't want that? Do you people? Do y'all have a... Is your china made out of gold? I mean, you can come to my house, you can look at all the dishes, you're not going to find gold dishes. You're not going to find silver dishes. Now, I tell you, I got some silver forks, I think. Are they real silver? Where's my wife? Maybe I've got some real silver somewhere, just a little bit, maybe. In a drawer, you know. You know what that means? That means it's too valuable for you to touch it. It's so valuable, I don't get to use it. Well, it's too good for you, honey. We're going to put this in a drawer. That's what we do with silver. And we don't even have golden vessels. These are valuable vessels. Listen, you know what? Our lives have value for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the cause of God. Your life, you only have one life, and it's supposed to be valuable for God. He died for you. He made the greatest investment that ever could be made for us. What value he's placed upon our lives. And for me to let my silver and my gold stick into the hands of some heathen that doesn't know God. What a wasted life. What a wasted investment. No wonder God got angry at Belshazzar. That's not your gold. Those vessels are too good for you. Those vessels don't belong with you. And our bodies and our lives don't belong to this world, and they don't belong to the sins of the flesh. They belong to a holy God, and for the use of that God. And the devil's working overtime, to get you into that party. The vessels prepared in the glory, the sanctified vessels, the chosen vessels. Look at 2 Timothy. You're close by. From 1 Thessalonians to 2 Timothy chapter 2. They're valuable vessels. They're God's vessels. You know, this thought of consecration, of being consecrated for God's use, if we could ever get to the place where we really understand that we are God's vessels. It's not my life. I'm just a vessel in His house. And whatever He wants to do with me, well, this is not how my life planned out, and this is not the way I... God's got a much better life for you than you could plan for yourself. And just watch the last 100 people that tried to plan their lives out and see what happened. The use of the Lord, the vessels of the Lord, God's vessels. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This should be our heart. We don't want to be in Belshazzar's house. How many Christians have you known, and after years and years, and they're out of church and away from God, and you stumble on them and you think, how did you get here? How did this gold and silver vessel get from the temple on Mount Zion, the holy city? How did it get from here to this wicked mess? Happens every day in people's lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think here's a pretty good warning. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Keep reading. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then he talks about fleeing youthful lust and following righteousness, faith, and charity, and how we can make ourselves the right vessels. You are designed to be a vessel, and we're designed to be vessels unto honor. And there are some vessels He can't use. He only uses a sanctified vessel, and that's why the devil is defiling the vessels in Daniel chapter 5, so they cannot be used in the service of God, using them in wicked fashions, in an idolatrous, false worship service to the gods of this world, the gods of materials and materialism. And the Bible says God wants us to sanctify ourselves and purge ourselves. I think there's probably every one of us in here, there's some things we can purge from our vessel. You know, Brother Shock just had surgery, and they had to take something out of his body that wasn't good for his body. And when they removed that, he's had to be very careful about now what he puts into his body and how he eats, or it's going to affect the vessel, because something that has been harmful has been purged out. And now he's got to be careful with the vessel. Oh, are you being careful with the vessel? I remember trying to preach to young people, trying to make an illustration to them. And you may have seen, you know, you take a glass with pure water, and then you take another glass and you start just putting junk in that glass, and it gets worse and just more gross all the time. You know, you young people, you better be glad I'm not your youth pastor. I brought a big cow patty into the when I tried to work with, because I just wanted to show them what God said about things. And you know, He talks about dung in the Bible a lot, so I thought, well, that'd be a good lesson. Yeah. I tell you what, everybody paid attention that day. I just went out in the field and got a Jesus illustration, amen, one from the field. And I preached on about, the Lord said, spread dung in your face. That was a really powerful illustration. But you put all that stuff in a vessel, you don't want to use it. Now listen, aren't you being careful about your vessel? God can't use all that junk you're putting down in there. You need to get that stuff out.
You're a chosen vessel. You're a holy vessel. You're a sanctified vessel. God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a wonderful service for your life. And He wants you to be sanctified so that anytime the Master has a need, meet for the Master's use. And the Master says, I need this vessel for this service. But He can't pick one if it's all defiled and profane, or if it's in the hand of Belshazzar, if it's in the hand of this world. I'm sure there's a lot of things God could do, but He can't find vessels to do them. Because the vessels that were brought up in His house are in somebody else's house. The vessels that were made for His hands are in somebody else's hands. You remember what that Bible talks about in Jeremiah 18 about that vessel and that potter? You know, it's all right to be marred. It's all right to be rough on the edges. It's all right to have a lack in your life as long as your vessel is still in the hand of the potter. But when you take that marred, incomplete vessel and you take it out of the potter's hand and you put it into Belshazzar's hand or a concubine's hand or a wicked man's hand, and that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get your life out of God's hand and put it into somebody else's hand that does not love and know the truth. God says you better purge yourself. Be a vessel unto honor. Well, I not only want to live right, I want to finish well. I want to finish well. I want to look back and know that my vessel was a vessel not that never got in the house of Babylon. Never got in the house of this world's corruption. God, have mercy on us to keep our vessels clean and sanctified. Those vessels that He sprinkled with blood. Hebrews 9:21 said He did all the vessels of the ministry. And that's what our lives are for. They're for ministry. They're for the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's a nursing home. If it doesn't matter if it's a public school. It doesn't matter if it's on the job somewhere. Amen. Digging a ditch or building a building so you can put your money in the work of the gospel. Our whole lives of our vessels are for the ministry and for the glory of God. And the devil's got a plan to make sure there's a disconnect between your vessel and the house of God and the use of God and the glory of God. He's trying to get you in Belshazzar's hand. I wonder tonight, are we going to be like children, like Daniel and Hananiah, that purpose in our heart and say, they were in Babylon, but they were never in the hand of Belshazzar. They were in Babylon, but they were never part of the system. They didn't join into the wine, the women, the song, the lust, the sin, the depravity. They didn't join into that. They were separate from it. While all along, Satan, listen, is trying to steal the vessels. Isn't that what happened in the book of Daniel? They stole the vessels. They went to another land. And they stole them out of the temple. They didn't get permission. They didn't pay for them. They just stole them. Nebuchadnezzar got there and I want those vessels. And he comes back. He puts them. And they stay there. And nobody touches them. But Belshazzar said, go get those vessels. He stole them from their proper place. The devil is a thief. The devil is a liar. The devil is a murderer. He wants to steal the good things of God out of your life. He wants to steal your vessel away from God. I taught a bunch of missionaries a big class last week, filled with missionaries preparing to go to the field. And I said, you know, guys, God's got a great plan for every one of your lives. But the devil's got a plan for your life too. He's going to try to steal your life away from the purpose that you were born and meant for. And there's nothing more heartbreaking to a pastor to watch the devil come in and steal a vessel. Steal a child. Steal a young person. Steal a married couple. Steal somebody away from the use and service of God. You say, preacher, what do? We yield ourselves to the Master's use. And we be like Daniel and these men. And we say, No, sir. My life is not for you. Hands off. Do whatever you want to do, but I serve a true God and a living God, and my life is not for Babylon. My life is for the Lord. It's for the glory of God. And I'll live it for Him, and I'll be consecrated to Him. That's a word you don't hear a lot. Are you consecrated? That just means that your life has been committed for the use of the Lord and set apart for His use. And you're consecrated, and you purge out from yourself so that the Master can use you. You know, as sad as it is that Belshazzar used all these vessels of God, there is a happy ending. And I'm so glad I've watched the devil destroy a lot of Christian people's lives in my ministry. But there's one great ending to the story, and that is this. There's going to come along another king after Belshazzar that's going to say, you know, these vessels don't belong here. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ezra in chapter 1 that God Almighty called Ezra out a king. And when Ezra took the throne, he walked out there and he said, all right, we're going to let all the Jewish people go back home. And by the way, I want you to get all those vessels. I want you to gather up all those vessels and I want you to take them back home and take them where they belong. Those vessels that the devil's used. Those vessels that the devil defiled. Those vessels that the devil kept in Babylon. I want you to get them all together and I want you to send them back home. And they all went back home. You know, with all the broken hearts, one of these days God's going to come down. He's going to get all His vessels back. And He's going to take him back home.
Amen.
He's going to win.
Glory.
He's going to get what he deserves. He's going to get the glory. He's going to get the honor. Get your hands off my stinking vessels. They're going back to where they belong. And one of these days, all of God's children will be changed into His image. There'll be no gods of wine and gods of iron and wood. There'll be no drunken parties. There'll be no defilement. Everybody will be right where they're supposed to be. But I don't know about you, but I want my story while it's being written here to be Daniel's story and those three young men's story and those vessels and not those vessels in the hand of that wicked man. You tell the devil to keep his stinking hands off your life and offer yourself as a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, whatever you want, Lord, and prepared unto every good work.